Okay, I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority Strategic Planning Committee for Wednesday, April 18th, 2012. We have a roll call, please.
Committee Chair Dirk Wiseman.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Banks. Director Gonzalez.
You take follow for this one?
No, I thought you said join me.
It's just strategic, okay. We have a forum.
All right.
The strategic planning.
And noted for the record that there's some extra people in attendance.
Very good. We show on the agenda an opportunity for public comment. I just wanted to offer that up. Not seen any likely candidates for public comment, so we'll move on then. The next order of business would be approval of minutes for our meeting held on February 15th, 2012. I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and second to approve the minutes of February 15th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. And next item is approval of a traffic noise study and abatement policy. This was discussed thoroughly in committee. We had an open and extended process allowing for public comment. And I just wondered, and I think the total result, overall result, was one of some changes, mainly, I think, in the area of trying to create more clarity in the policy. The policy as it stood was generally found to be okay the way it was. And I don't know, Rocco, do you have any, you want to summarize any of
sure. I'll be really quick on this. So the policy, if you recall, talked about multiple times during different strategic planning committees. Really, the updates are based on lessons learned from the congestion relief program. We did some clarifications. The director was talking about what is eligible and what's not eligible from a traffic noise perspective. Really moved the policy to make sure that we are in line with the updated and most recent federal and statewide traffic noise policies and standards. And we also clarified what the tollway contribution limits would be for various traffic noise studies and abatement when we build walls and say here's what our financial contribution will be. And then we've also, as you've seen over the last several months, defined our cost share terms where we will partnership with other agencies to share in the cost for traffic noise abatement. So those are pretty much some of the updates and the new policy that the last time it was updated was in 2005. It's part of a new program, so we're gonna use this policy moving forward. We did put it up for public comment. We received two comments that weren't really pertinent to the policy. One was site-specific, and one was, well, we shouldn't build any noise wall at all. So we didn't make any changes from the time that the policy was posted on our website until now. So, and that's where we are. And what we're seeking then as part of the process would be formal approval of this committee, and then we will begin implementing and using this policy for our New Illinois program.
Very good. Thank you. So before I entertain a motion to approve, I just, the committee members have any comments or questions at this point? Okay. Being none, then I would ask for a motion on this item.
So moved.
Second.
And we have a motion and a second to approve the traffic noise study and abatement policy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is carried. Moving on, we have a number of items for discussion today. Two of those really dealing with in the area of diversity, one workforce diversity, another vendor diversity, and our executive director will present on both of those.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning.
Good morning.
Not quite afternoon yet. I wanted to thank everyone for participating. As you all know, diversity has been an item of interest for the tollway across many different aspects of our operation. And you know, the board has consistently articulated that diversity in a broad spectrum of opportunities for a broad spectrum of people and businesses are important and a priority for us as an organization. This diversity discussion was actually part of two committee work plans So we have opted and thank everybody for giving a little extra time this morning to attend the strategic planning committee so that we can have some representatives of the finance committee, but also the strategic planning committee participating in this discussion. We thought it would be helpful to provide an overview of what the tollway is doing to enhance our diversity and opportunities here at the tollway, both in our own workforce through and through the contracts that we award as part of the Move Illinois program or in our construction efforts. We've got Lisa Williams, who I think most of you have probably met before, is our EEO and ethics officer, but part of that charge for her is really to help us think about, you know, how we can make sure that we are providing opportunities for employment at the tollway to a broad spectrum of individuals in the surrounding communities. So what we've done and what I've asked the presenters for both presentations to do, I hope it's okay for the board and for the chair, is to just remain seated during their presentations because we wanted to kind of facilitate a discussion on these items. I really would like to start with probably Lisa going through the workforce diversity presentation. This is again the tollways workforce, just to be clear. And of course, any questions or discussion that we'd like to have around these efforts, you know, we're always looking for ways to improve. So,
thanks. So this is the new mission statement for workforce diversity. Experts have long touted the business benefits of a diverse workforce, including greater innovation resulting from new and different ideas, improved customer satisfaction as culturally diverse customers are better able to connect with a culturally diverse workforce, improved relationships with neighboring communities for similar reasons, and these are just to name a few. Clearly, these are outcomes that we prioritize at the tollway, and they also further the recommendations of the strategic advisory team and its suggestions that we refocus our efforts on our customers and the communities that we serve. We also have legal obligations to consider. Not only could a homogenous workforce bolster a discrimination claim against us, but we're legally required to make good faith efforts to reduce our underutilization figures. So, what again is underutilization? Basically, underutilization is a comparison of the representation of a certain group, say African Americans, in the available labor market to their representation at the tollway's workforce. So, and this is just a hypothetical that's not true. If African Americans constitute, say, 80% of the available labor market and only 20% of the tollway's workforce, then the tollway would be said to be underutilizing African Americans. As that comparison gets closer to the available labor market and we offset this imbalance, we get closer to parity. We're required to report our underutilization numbers to the state on a quarterly basis, and we receive ratings based on our good faith efforts to address our underutilization of various minority groups, and these ratings determine whether or not we are in compliance with the Illinois Human Rights Act. So with so many good reasons that we want to strive for diversity, we're integrating our underutilization information into the recruitment and hiring process in order to have a more effective and targeted outreach and a more focused and open selection process than we otherwise would. On the left side of the screen, you'll see the EEO breakdown of our current workforce, which you'll probably be able to read better on your laptop. Now, I know I've got a lot of attachments to this presentation. There is just so much useful workforce information to share. I'm going to refer to the attachments periodically throughout the presentation. You don't have to skip to them unless you want to. I'll describe what they depict. Attachments 1 and 2 reflect the EEO breakdown of our workforce as it trended during 2011 and this first quarter of 2012, which just ended March 31st. Now, to fully appreciate these trends, you have to understand that we do very little hiring to be as fiscally responsible as possible. During all of 2011, we hired only 68 people, and our workforce is roughly 1,500 people. So basically, we hired 4% of our workforce last year. Given that context, it's necessarily going to take time to make any significant changes to our overall workforce. But all indications show that we are moving in the right direction, and we're now trending upward for women and ethnic minorities. Moreover, and significantly, I'd like to note that the folks that we're hiring are being hired into all levels of the tollway's workforce in a fairly well-balanced way, from custodians up to department chiefs. and you'll see the data to support that in attachment 9.
Yeah.
But next slide, you
can
flip to the attachment.
Okay.
But they're so pretty.
They are. There's a lot of charting.
We can almost look bad.
So this chart on the left shows how we calculate our underutilization figures on a quarterly basis. At the beginning of every fiscal year, each state agency recalculates its underutilization numbers using an equation supplied by the Department of Human Rights. And then every quarter, the agency's underutilization figures are adjusted based on if the agency hires or promotes people in underutilized categories. So in the chart on the left, the top set of rows represents the underutilization figures from the previous quarter. The middle set of rows represents the hires and promotions that we had during the quarter. And it just subtracts the hires and promotions in underutilized categories from the previous quarter's underutilization figures, you'll get on the bottom the current quarter's underutilization figures. Now, because underutilization numbers are reset every year, year-to-year comparisons can be inexact, but they do provide relevant information, and you'll see in the chart on the right that the tollways underutilization numbers when compared between June 2010 and December 2011 for African Americans and Latinos were reduced for every single category, EEO job category for African Americans, and every category except for one for Latinos. It may also be interesting to check out attachments 10 and 11, which show straight percentage comparisons between the representation of various minority groups at the tollway and their representation in the available labor market. And attachment 12 is a ranking of all of the state agencies under the personnel code in order of percentage of Latinos and African Americans at the agencies. Now, if we include the tollway, which is not under the personnel code, we're in the top 22% for representation of Latinos at our agency, and we're about the middle of the pack for the representation of African Americans. This next slide sets the stage for our discussion about workforce diversity: recruitment, selection, retention. The first and one of the most critical steps to is to maximize the diversity of our applicant pool. Now, it costs money to post jobs, sometimes upwards of $500 to post a single job. So we have to be creative. We've gone from a handful of outreach places when Christy first started to well over 150 different advocacy and professional organizations, schools, social media, including Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and we are exploring more. And we've had some recent and major successes with traditional media targeted to various minority audiences. And we have personal relationships with the vast majority of the organizations on this list, which is an important aspect of the mutual connection that we want to have with our neighbors. Now, hopefully we'll have time to talk later, I know we're running late, about opportunities for board involvement, but I can say right now that from the very beginning, Director Towns has been really terrific and effective help with outreach in the critical Rockford area. And Director Gonzalez has also provided terrific help connecting us with community leaders who want to help us spread the word about our good employment opportunities to people who are looking for work. And we've seen some very diverse applicant pools at the tollway recently. Attachments 5 and 6 show the EEO breakdown of the applicant pool from last October for one of our major positions, EOL, or Equipment Operator Laborer. These folks drive our help trucks, our snow plows, and they operate other heavy machinery. At the time, the EEO breakdown of our staff of EOLs was 83% Caucasian, 17% minority. Our applicant pool for the EOLs was 54% Caucasian, 29.4% minority, and 17% unidentified, and 2% women, and at the time we didn't have any female EOLs. Another significant aspect of our approach to workforce diversity is that we are very carefully examining every critical juncture of the selection process to make sure that there are no hidden barriers to employment and that the selection process is open and fair to everyone. One of the first things Christy did when she started here was to end the practice of internal-only job postings, absent unusual circumstances, such as a contractual agreement with the union for seniority priority bidding. Study after study shows that word-of-mouth recruiting, which is basically what internal-only job postings amounts to, is no friend to diversity. We also carefully scrutinize all job requirements to make sure that they are narrowly tailored to the position, consistent with business necessity, and not unintentionally exclusive. Moving through the selection process, many positions require a written test, and only those who score high enough on the written test are eligible to be interviewed. We analyze our written tests both before they're administered and after they're administered. For pre-test scrutiny, we're currently reviewing and in many cases rewriting all of our test questions. Then, a group of us takes each test to make sure that every question is clear and free from bias, including biases against external candidates. And we usually go through multiple revisions. We also administer the test to diverse focus groups of employees. After the test is given, we put the results through two different disparate impact analyses to determine whether there are areas in which any group of people is performing disproportionately poorly on the test. The next step is the interview process, which for most positions is governed by the Rupian decision issued by the United States Supreme Court, which in a nutshell requires a selection procedure that is applied uniformly and includes a structured interview process with a three-person interview panel, identical interview questions, and strict rules limiting communication among the interviewers regarding interviews and scoring of the candidates. So one thing we're doing is making sure that we're sending diverse pools of people for Rupian training so that our interview panels can be diverse, which can have a significant impact on the outcome of an interview. And we have been hiring diverse candidates that we can send for Rupian training. As depicted in attachment 8, in our most recent quarter that we have data for, which is the one that ended December 31st, our new hire pool was 40% minority, 32% African American, and 8% Latino. Our workforce at the time was 24% minority, 13.3% African American, and 6.7% Latino. And 37% of the people that we hired during 2011 were hired during that last quarter. So I mentioned earlier that it's going to take some time to turn around a 1,500-person workforce when we are frugal with our hiring, but this type of diversity in our new hire pool is really a sign that we're moving in the right direction. And lastly, we're gearing up to train interviewers on subtle yet discriminatory biases that we all have as human beings, so that our interviewers have a heightened sensitivity that they exist and actively take steps to eliminate them. After the interviews, the candidates are ranked according to the score they received during the interview. We've begun examining the placement of the candidates on a ranking sheet by EEO group to make sure that they are well represented throughout the ranking sheet, and it's not the case that certain groups are at the bottom of the list and therefore less likely to receive an offer. This on your screen is an example of the analysis of the recent district supervisor position that we filled last November. You'll see that it looks pretty well balanced. The red line represents African American, the blue line represents Caucasian, the purple line represents unidentified, and the green line represents Latino. And you'll see that for the green line, 50% of the Latinos were in the top 10%, 50% of the Latinos were in the bottom 10%, and none were in between. This would be a little bit more eyebrow-raising if we had a larger sample size. There were only four Latinos. But this is certainly something that, this is the reason that we do these charts, so that we have this information, we can look and see whether or not there's anything that warrants further review. In line with our aggressive approach of breaking down the selection process into smaller pieces and scrutinizing each section for any sign of imbalance, attachment 7 is an example of our new selection process tracking system that we're developing that measures both the EEO breakdown of the pool of applicants at each step of the selection process. So what does the pool of applicants look like EEO-wise that are minimally qualified? What does the pool look like that took the written test? What does the pool look like that passed the written test? It also tracks each ethnic group and gender group as it makes its way through the selection process so we can see how each group fares. Now, this is a very intensely data-driven approach, which is consistent with the recommendations of the strategic advisory team. This is our final slide. And we're also focused on retention. Every employee who leaves the agency is given an exit interview when they're asked about their reason for leaving, tenure, satisfaction with various terms and conditions of employment, whether they experienced or witnessed discrimination, and a lot of other information. I turn these individual responses into a quarterly report that analyzes the data in the aggregate, and Christy and Mike and I study these very carefully. One benefit of being the EEO officer as well as the person in charge of workforce diversity is that I'm aware of and have easy access to an awful lot of workforce data. So what we're going to start doing is a comprehensive quarterly review that includes A, EEO workforce trends and the effect on our underutilization numbers, B, an exit interview analysis and trends, and C, an analysis of the positions posted that quarter, the applicant pool, and whether there is any disparate impact at any various stages of the hiring process. In recognition and appreciation of the fact that so many of the communities we serve are multilingual, as well as the fact that customer service is one of the Tollway's highest priorities, the Tollway is committed to voluntarily creating bilingual positions in our workforce so that we may best address patrons in distress on our roads, with questions about our system, who require accommodations for disabilities, or who have other needs that require effective communication with our staff. Last year, we began surveying our employees to determine what our needs are and what our resources are. And this year, we will expand that survey and will implement appropriate bilingual positions, which will actually position us as a competitive and responsive agency. Finally, we have expanded our involvement in the U.S. Department of Transportation's Women and Girls Internship Program, which I talked briefly about last time I spoke to the board. This is a pilot program that started at Spelman College and became a White House initiative that expanded throughout the country. And in this region, it's operated through the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And there's a picture from last year's program. This year, we're continuing this relationship, but we also want to develop our own formal and innovative internship program with mentorship and cross-training components. Also, we've joined or partnered with several organizations designed to foster an inclusive environment, such as Good Samaritan Hospital to help us develop a domestic violence awareness program, Disability Works out of Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, and GONA, the Governor's Office of New Americans, among others. You may also wish to check out Attachment 13, which provides three examples of our Did You Know items, in which we highlight cultural leaders for various heritage months on the top section of Crossroads, which is our intranet site. And I encourage all of you to check them out whenever you're here. And I really have just scratched the surface on all of this, and happy to go into greater depth on any part of it. We are very interested in here. I don't know if we have time for a discussion.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'd certainly like to hear any feedback or questions that you might have on anything that's presented, but also ideas, you know, are there areas where we could, you know, our efforts potentially, or other things we should be looking at.
Yep. Right. Do you have additional ideas for outreach? Do you think we should be doing different data analysis or further data analysis? Any suggestions for retention? And I also want to say, even after this discussion, if there, you know, we definitely, I'm so appreciative of Director Towns and Director Gonzalez, and encourage other board members to get involved as well. Even if you don't have specific ideas for how to get involved, you just let us know that you're interested in helping, and I promise we will find something for you to do.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Any questions or discussion? I want to make sure the finance administration folks.
Your light years from what we used to be.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's a great job.
We are. Christy has very clearly prioritized diversity,
yes,
when she came in. I don't think there was anybody doing this type of work before.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I just want to comment on, we did outreach and invited Lisa to come out to the South Suburban Mayors and Managers meeting. And you could see by, you know, we had about 100 people there. And it's a very diverse population out there. And it was very well received in terms of just the information, and it was such a successful having you out there and just explaining exactly the diversity program. And I think that's the key. It's just the outreach, and you know, I think you'll get more out of that than putting a $500 or $1,000 ad in the Tribune. And I think it's a lot more successful that way, and it was very well received.
Yeah, and that was a wonderful opportunity and a great example of fantastic board involvement.
Great. I'm going to invite Dale to Lisa.
Wonderful.
I'm looking at slide 4 and trying to crystallize that a little bit. It looks to me like in the last year and a half, underutilization amongst African Americans has dropped by about 30%, and underutilization of Hispanics has dropped by over 20%. So, would you attribute that to any particular measures, or is it the combination of measures that you talked about that's really?
I think it's a combination. I think, you know, outreach is crucial, and our outreach has just exploded. I think outreach in all areas, and then Director Towns has just been fabulous in terms of connecting us with groups that can, really what we're looking for, people who can help us connect with folks who are looking for work. And I think outreach is, I would say that's a very critical, I would say that's probably the most important factor.
Well, I think given the amount of hiring we're not doing overall because of the economy, et cetera, that those these trends are very positive, particularly given that context.
They are, and I didn't mention, but we also lose people. So
right. Well, we appreciate that presentation.
Before I relinquish the floor, if I may just take my hat off and put on my ethics officer hat for a moment, this is a great opportunity for me to say, statements of economic interest are due May 1st, which is a week from Tuesday, and I have Director Towns and one other. But I do need, by law, we need to look at every director's statement of economic interest, and I have yours as well, but I only have two. So even though I know a lot of you submitted a statement of economic interest in connection with your recent appointment to the board, you still have to submit another one. Everybody has to submit another one for 2012. So you can submit a copy, you can scan a copy to me, you can send it to Trinise and she'll get it to me, but I need to review it first, and we want to make sure that it does get to the Secretary of State's office by May 1st so that everybody is in compliance with the Governmental Ethics Act.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if that's all on that topic, we can move on to vendor person.
I would like to recognize, it was nice of Lisa to mention me, but I really would like to mention her and her efforts. I mean, she really does try to go above and beyond. I know it works very, very hard, and we can see the benefit of that in a lot of the data that has been presented here. So, thank you.
Thank you.
We talked a little in the previous meeting about the need to streamline some of our procurements to save time and resources. And as you know, we are operating under parameters that in some ways make it more challenging for our agency to award contracts and begin work in a timely and reliable way. And with that uncertainty comes some amount of risk. So we really wanted to kind of frame the next discussion thinking about opportunities not only for diversity but really just broadening opportunity generally. We think that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity for us to pursue additional efforts to look for opportunities for a full spectrum of businesses here at the Tollway. But we have to, I think, kind of frame that discussion within some parameters. And one of them is the challenge. We're going to discuss some of the challenges we've had on procurements and some of the risks that the uncertainty of the duration of the procurement process mean for us. We also, of course, always need to take into account the law that we are bound by federal, state laws about our procurement process, about how we manage any of our work here at the Tollway. And ultimately, we need to factor all of these things into what is going to be, I think, a very vibrant, but at times, I think, complicated discussion on our efforts to look at our programs to provide opportunities to a broad spectrum of companies. Despite these constraints, I think we've made a priority, and I've heard clearly from the board that it's a priority for us to look at additional ways to expand opportunities for businesses here at the Tollway. I think that the senior staff here, I can say wholeheartedly that they agree with that foundational goal, but there are some things that, create some friction in accomplishing that at some point. So as you'll hear from Gustavo, and Paul will also be, both will be kind of jointly presenting on this item, but we'll start with Gustavo. We've really gone out and listened to the contracting community to learn, what barriers do exist to vendors, contractors, consultants taking full advantage of opportunities, business opportunities here at the Tollway. But even before we conducted this outreach, this board agreed that unbundling really should be something that we are looking at as a strategy for providing a broader spectrum of opportunities for businesses. So I think we'll start the conversation with Gustavo going through a little bit about his new department. As you know, we've established a new department here at the Tollway, but also a little bit about those outreach efforts and what we've heard. And then I think we will be going into a discussion, with Paul in particular, but also Gustavo and hopefully the whole board, on some of the specific proposals to increase opportunities here at the Tollway, or increase the spectrum of opportunities at the Tollway for a broad array of companies. Again, though, considering some of these risks and other parameters that we need to operate within. Have I framed it? Well, that's nice of you to say. I would then like to probably come back to a discussion on just a quick update after we're done with this discussion on another item having to do with the OACs. But I think we can just go into the presentation if there aren't any other thoughts.
And I thank you very much for that introduction, Christy. And once again, good morning to all the directors. And today, I hope to provide you with information on my department, our efforts to enhance diversity, and on the Tollway's diversity and strategic development roadmap. Throughout our meetings with multiple stakeholders over the last few months, I often refer to diversity, and specifically in the case of engineering, as being joined at the hip, or better yet, as to a marriage without a divorce option. The collaboration with engineering, but also with finance, procurement, and other Tollway departments in exploring options to enhance diversity is critical to obtaining comprehensive information that will inform our decisions going forward. This morning, Paul and also Michael will join me in providing context on the topics of unbundling and bonding and insurance. As you heard me saying before, I came to the Tollway with close to 30 years of procurement and diversity experience in various government positions. The current diversity staff is already familiar to most of you. Stephanie Stevens and Marlene Dick, with a combined professional experience that exceeds over 30 years of working on issues of diversity. Some examples of activities that have kept us in motion since the inception of the new department are, as it relates to policies and procedures, we have revised the DBE contract special provisions to provide 60% DBE credit for suppliers, articulate sanctions to assess liquidated damages for DBE non-compliance, expand accepting Cook County's DBE MBE certification, and review the inclusion of prompt payment provisions in the contract documents. Regarding the addition of marketplace data, we have an RFP in final draft for services that will provide further marketplace information to guide decisions regarding diversity programming. In connection with the implementation of a small business program, we are exploring the implementation of a program to provide contracting opportunities to small businesses. Specifically, the Law Department is currently reviewing the pertinent sections of the state's procurement code to determine if and how a procurement preference relevant to small businesses programs would apply to tollway contracts. Once law has provided an opinion, and assuming the tollway deems necessary seeking the state CPO's concurrence, we would engage in conversations to determine the small business program criteria and parameters, such as business size. Concurrently, the diversity, engineering, and procurement departments will be coordinating efforts to identify and issue public solicitations that target small businesses. This effort will be preceded by a significant outreach to encourage rich and diverse bid participation. Currently, the Tollway diversity programs are our main areas of daily focus. Briefly, they are a customized disadvantaged business enterprise DBE program for construction and professional services, which sets M, W, and DBE goals customized to the geographical location, trades utilized, and availability of firms on each of our contracts. The Mentor Protege program, which the Tollway created in an effort to help MWDB professional service consultants develop and build necessary technical and business skills. In response to feedback from the contracting community, we are exploring the feasibility of expanding this program to construction contracts. The EEO, Equal Employment Opportunity Program, which follows the federal program goals of 19.6% minority workforce hours and 6.9% women workforce hours. In 2011, tollway construction contracts exceeded the minority hours by achieving a reported 41.5% workforce hours. The percent of women workforce hours was a reported 6.2%. The Earned Credit Program, or ECP, which, as I will explain later in the presentation, is an example of innovation encouraged by the tollway. This voluntary jobs creation program for disenfranchised individuals benefits contractors, subcontractors, and unions. Other diversity programs utilized by tollway for goods and services include CMS's Business Enterprise Program for goods and services procurement greater than $500,000, and a CMS Small Business Set Aside Program for procurements that are less than $50,000. Finally, but no less important, the Diversity Department places emphasis on networking and outreach. We have significantly expanded our outreach efforts effective 2012, which we intend to continue through the duration of Move Illinois and beyond. So our Listen and Learn tour has given the tollway and my department valuable feedback on priorities that the construction and professional service vendors believe are important. We were appreciative of their time and participation. They made good use of the opportunity to voice their thoughts. The outreach included groups we have long-time relationships, as well as groups with whom we are building new bonds. The sessions assisted us in narrowing our focus on issues that were important to the industry. What we heard. The overall message that came through loud and clear is that the contracting community wants the contracting challenges reduced and contracting opportunities increase. We heard that contract size is important to small business bidders. We were asked to review opportunities to unbundle, as well as finding and bidding smaller contracts by specialty. Just as important was the message that a pipeline that provides growth be created so that as contractors build capacity, larger opportunities are present. Similarly, we heard abundantly about bonding and insurance hurdles. We learned this issue is front and center to the contracting community. Mike will discuss later avenues to address the bonding and insurance hurdles. Regarding training and technical assistance, we heard appeals to help build capacity. We were asked to look for additional flexibility in diversity programs. The Mentor Protege program offers the best example of increasing flexibility in diversity programs. Mentor Protege agreements are being explored for options to offer tier percent credit tied to contract size. We were asked to explore quicker construction change order payments. While we heard the tollway is doing extraordinarily well on routine monthly invoice payments, engineering is hard at work analyzing how to make the payment process for change orders quicker and more